And welcome, everybody, to episode 385 of RP Grinders. I'm your unemployed host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold, and the Frosty M-A. One himself.
A.K.A. Please hire me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I wish I could do voiceover work, guys. What do you think about that?
No shit. I want that.
You have to move to Texas. That's where all the voice acting talent goes.
Yeah, fuck that. I ain't going
actually, to Texas. Actually, most of it goes to L.A.
It's voice acting. You should be able to record anywhere.
Yeah, I agree. You should be able to live in Denver and record shit.
Yeah, but you're more likely to get a job in Texas.
Yeah, probably. Or LA.
Or in LA, there's a lot of the, Texas is the central for a lot of anime stuff. For domestic animation and games, it tends to be centralized in LA.
Yeah, for sure. LA is the hot spot for everything. I've been there. I've seen how LA works. I've known people in the industry, and it's a long road to get there. I thought about putting a reel together and stuff like that, but whatever. It costs money that I just don't have.
So I almost wound up moving to LA a long time ago. Got an interview for, remember the magazine Game Fan?
I had
an interview with them. They flew me out there.
I wish you would have got that job, man. That would have been cool.
Well, I'm not so certain I wish that, just because, they're not around anymore. So.
Well, they're not around, but you get that experience.
They tried to resurrect at some point.
Yeah.
Except for Game Informer, really.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you get that experience, and you move on to bigger and better things. You know, people tend to pick up other people in the industry. I don't know. It's weird.
Well, that's why a lot of, most popular reviewers and stuff started moving to actual game companies, started working on doing their PR and stuff like that, because they saw what was coming.
I could do PR, with all the context that we've had over the years between this show and DMT and
you should do PR for Kickstarter.
Oh, fuck off. Fuck off, Frank.
Maybe that's it. You can kickstart a new game magazine.
This was going in an awesome direction. My hopes were lifted, and then all of a sudden I got dashed by Breakman. See how you are. Kicking a man when he's down, Breakman.
That wasn't me. That was an imposter.
All right, guys. Yeah, exactly, Mug. All right, let's get this thing started, Eric. Let's get the news over and done with.
First of all, we've got from Silicon Era, yay. We've got to improve the city to help your heroes in Elio, a fantasy of light and darkness, and fantasy spelled all weird.
Yeah. Right.
And it says, as players make improvements to their hometown, their characters will grow stronger, and the turn-based RPG combat of Elio, a fantasy of light and darkness. Free-to-play game available on Android. So, Breakman, you can check this out for us, please.
Yeah, check it out. I'm looking at it. Is it me, or is the art style a little too colorful? Almost Warcraftian. You know what I mean? World of Warcraft.
No, this needs to be darker. Make it darker.
A little bit darker.
Dark Souls dark.
the image they show of the combat looks okay, but the town, it looks very... like Mario. Actually, it looks very Paper Mario.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe a Paper Mario, something like that. Yeah. No, the combat's okay, I guess. It looks all right. But all right, Breakman, you have an assignment.
The combat looks like every Final Fantasy ever.
Yeah.
It looks kind of reminds me of the Romancing Saga games on the old Super Nintendo.
Yeah, that too. Mm. I could see that. I could see both comparisons for sure. Of course, Final Fantasy is kind of the primer for almost any RPG, so you're gonna get a lot of that.
It used to be anyway.
Yeah. All right, break. Let's move on.
Coming to us live from Silicon Era. I'm sorry, everyone. A Little Lily Princess, a Yuri visual novel based on a classic novel. Hanako Games have adapted Frances Hodgson Burnett's British novel. What's that? Hodgson Burnett's British novel. Damn your parents. A Little Princess into a Yuri visual novel. A Little Lily Princess is players taking on the role of Sarah, a young girl at a boarding school in India during the Victorian era. Keeping up with her schoolwork while getting closer to her classmates. Aww. Sarah can form... Sarah can form relationships with six of the girls at the school, depending on the player's decisions. Sarah also has to do her schoolwork, and what classes or activities she attends will give her resources that will allow her access to important scenes for certain characters. I'm guessing cheerleading and a shower scene.
I think we can just skip the essay test and move straight to the oral exam.
Hey, I actually have a free-for-all kind of pertaining to this type of thing, but we'll get to that later. So
you have a sapphic free-for-all?
This is a visual novel you could mistakenly call a dating sim and get away with it, because it is a dating sim.
Yeah. No, like mundane tasks in video games, why we love them so much, and we don't love them so much in real life.
Here are the stats for your characters. Knowledge, artistry, patience, sympathy, grace, belief, and vigor.
Belief in what? What are they talking about?
I don't know.
It's belief in themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Believe in you. You have to keep...
And lots of vigor.
Hey, belief in the patriarchy.
Exactly. All right, Eric. Let's move on, man. I don't want to spend more time talking about this.
All right. Next one. You want me to read the next one?
No, let's go with Mug. I skipped Mug.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, coming to us live from Aaron Eccles, survive the undead counters and random events of Death Road to Canada. Although I have to say, like, immediately I'm intrigued by the title.
Yeah,
I like that. Randomly generated road trip from Florida to Ontario filled with zombies, weird survivors, and bad story choices in Death Road to Canada. Steam next month. I think I should have taken the left-pointed Albuquerque.
Yeah, exactly.
All aspects of the game are randomized every time the player sets out, ensuring a different undead adventure every time. Players can acquire weapons and survival gear by making stops along the way, and can meet and recruit other survivors as well. Those survivors have personality quirks that affect gameplay, helping or hindering them in certain situations. Players can create their own survivors for the game, putting their own family and friends up against hordes of up to 500 zombies as well.
Jesus.
Death Road to Canada will also feature narrative moments where the player can make decisions on what to do next. These are also affected by character quirks and will provide different outcomes dictated by the party you're bringing. A poor decision might result in a character's death, though, which is permanent.
So it sounds like it's a Dead Rising plus Gauntlet plus... Fuck you.
It sounds like a Dead Rising plus Gauntlet plus Oregon Trail.
Yeah, I was gonna say it has like old school elements to it.
So you have to worry about zombies and dysentery.
Dysentery, exactly. Your party has died of dysentery.
Yeah, I know. It's like shit. How are we supposed to ford this river? Yeah. You know?
Use the bodies.
Yeah. I know. It's like, we'll build We'll build a brick made of zombie bodies, and we'll gingerly step over, and then you have to worry about one of them coming back to life and dragging you down. And
yeah, exactly. Looks like Dungeon Buster.
I think I saw that movie and I didn't really like it.
Dungeon Buster and Gripper showed up in chat. What's up, gents? I didn't get a chance to type into you there, but I will shortly. Thanks for joining the show. We're talking about surviving the Death Road to Canada. Which looks interesting. I don't know, guys. I hope they bring this to console. I would be interested in playing it. Hopefully PS3, because I'm a piece of shit that doesn't have PS4.
So the Death Road goes from Michigan, right?
Yeah, pretty much, man. I mean, Detroit.
And then it goes through Detroit and then through Quebec.
Yeah, exactly. All right, guys, let's move on to the next story from Go Nintendo. French Mother 3 fan translation is on the way. So it'll be available for download April 20th, which is, 5 days from now, which marks the 10th anniversary of the game's original release. So what do you guys think of that?
I think it's pretty awesome. It's also noteworthy because I know I've mentioned this before, but the original, I mean, this is like the PC version is essentially a ground-up recoding of the original PC version, which was coded in this Japanese programming language called Hot Soup Processor. Mm-hmm. And it's apparently...
What are you talking about?
Corpse Party.
We're not talking about Corpse Party.
God damn it.
Yeah, what the hell's wrong with you, man? We're talking about Mother 3. Jesus Christ.
Somebody's looking at the next article.
I was looking at the next article, but actually, wasn't there... I keep hearing that Nintendo's announced something about Mother 3 coming officially... But then I can never find anything to back that up.
Someone hit it at localization, but nothing has come up.
Mm. Ah, I see.
I've always thought like Nintendo's gone hard against anybody who's like tried to translate Mother 3. Why is this one?
Because Mato's translation is still available.
Maybe yeah. because I mean, nobody.
I'm wondering if they used the script and then they just decided to translate it to French.
Maybe it's because nobody gives a shit about France. Maybe that's
Oh, why. That's so cruel. Why is everybody so pick on damn France?
Well, I mean, when you surrender everything, you know, I mean, that's the way it is, man.
Yeah, you realize that's largely a load of horse shit.
Yeah, I know, man.
I'm surprised that the Mother 4 fan project hasn't been shut down by Nintendo, though.
I like the French. If it wasn't for them, there wouldn't be an America. Just always remember that.
Well, there certainly wouldn't be a Statue of Liberty.
Mm.
Yeah.
In a
well, that's true.
Statue.
Actually, and that's true. The French were large financiers of the Revolutionary War.
Yeah, their navy really helped us out a lot because we did not have a navy.
Yeah. Like, oh, you cheese eating surrender monkeys who kind of helped us. Yeah, form our country in the first place.
Like, oh, see, you guys don't like the British, and we don't like the British, so hey, bonjour.
Yeah, exactly. let's see.
Salut.
Exactly. Let's go with
hey, guys, I got a question.
Okay, we got answers.
How well versed are in internet lingo, new internet lingo, are you?
Not very.
I've never heard of the term dub, Connie.
What is that?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Look up the word DubCon. I don't know what the word DubCon means.
I don't know.
DubCon. DubCon, or simply just Dub, stands for dubious consent, and is often used to to describe situations of dubious consent where it's not exactly non-consensual, i.e., rape.
Using qualudes and stuff.
No, that's rape.
Stuff and drinks.
Yeah, that's just rape. Where it's like, you know, where I think the notion
maybe
is
you're
kind of like
both
where it's,
really
it's
drunk.
Where you coerce somebody and you know, basically kind of coercing somebody into saying yes.
You're both really drunk and maybe you both have regrets afterwards type thing. Like you're both consenting really just
it sounds more drunk. Insidious than just
but of course drunk. In America if you're both drunk the man's still guilty.
Yeah. Dungeon Buster says, good old Urban Dictionary. Yeah, you know, actually, I think Urban Dictionary has a lot of good value when it comes to understanding, like, today's lingo. Like, I've learned a lot
from the evolutional language.
Yeah. I mean, Urban Dictionary started out as obviously, like, just a parody, a joke. Yeah.
I think they called it Urban Dictionary because the thesaurus is too long of a word.
Right. And it's become a very useful, applicable thing. Like, it's just a good thing. All right, Breakman, let's go with you on the next story, please.
You mean the one that...
fucked up.
Yeah,
okay. Shut up.
Coming to us live from Gumatsu, Corpse Party for PC launches April 25th. 3DS version coming to North America this summer. And it comes with two little statues.
I think they're cool. The statues are cool.
I saw that those little statues that come with the physical copy are the same statues that came with the limited edition of the Japanese PSP version.
Huh. Mm. Interesting.
Xseed has officially announced that it will release the 3DS remaster of Corpse Party in North America, and PC version of the Corpse Party will finally launch via Steam, GOG.com, and that's still around?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. And Humble Store on April 25th for $14.99. It's been a while since I've been to good old games. They're still around.
I certainly hope it's remastered because the 3DS's internal resolution is actually lower than the PSP's.
I'm sorry, good old games. I thought you guys went away a while ago. The 3DS version of launch time. I'm sorry, guys. I'm dumb. We'll launch this summer in $29.99 digital and $49.99 limited back to school edition, which comes with the statues that I already mentioned. High quality statues of Naomi, Nakashima, and Seiko Shinohara, as well as the soundtrack CD containing nearly 80 minutes of music. That's not too bad. From the game not previously featured on the Songs of the Dead. I'm sorry. Songs of the Dead compilation, including three tracks exclusive to the 3DS version. Oh, that's cool.
So it's the other half of the soundtrack we're missing.
Yeah.
No. I mean, well, the thing is, the soundtrack, the Songs of the Dead thing, they could only get the the tracks that they originally put out on that limited edition PSP release, mm-hmm. which only had like 12 tracks, because they, you know, it required a separate licensing agreement for the rest of the music. And the music for like it does contain the whole soundtrack for Blood Drive, though.
Do you guys want the details for the PC and 3DS version?
Absolutely.
Go for it.
Okay. The 3DS version, remastered from the 2011 PSP game, Nintendo 3DS rendition of, goddamn, why do you have to keep saying it? Of course, our home feature, redrawn high resolution. You guys are turning in this, into that other place that I won't mention.
Yeah, don't mention it.
A high resolution character sprites, newly arranged music tracks, and a 3D art stills. Mm-hmm. Oh, I guess just in the okay. As well as four new extra chapters exclusive to this version that provide insight to lesser shown characters and plot elements previously left unexplained. This title will be rated M. What a shock! Mm-hmm. Localized directly from the original. This is the PC version, independent PC version. Why did I say PC version? We don't know what's coming up next. Which was previously never released outside of Japan. The worldwide Windows PC release of Corpse Party will feature all the original art and voice. I can't do that. This is one sentence, and I can't do it in one breath. Jesus. Will feature all the original art and voice acting, as well as bevy of new features exclusive to this version. Among other inclusions, such as multiple endings and scenes that differ from the PSP and upcoming 3DS releases, this version boasts four bonus chapters on top of the game's five main story chapters, one of which is a PC-exclusive retelling of the Tooth story from Corpse Party Book of Shadows, recreated with added content and classic Corpse Party adventure style. Players seeking to complete every end... Jesus Christ. Every ending will find that the version also contains a speedy fast-forward function for seamless replayability. Ooh, I like that.
I hope that fast-forward thing is also in the 3DS version.
Not yet rated for PC, but
it's not in the 3DS version.
No. I like that fast-forward. That's really cool.
Looks like
that was one of the complaints I had with the PSP version. You couldn't skip cutscenes and... getting through them quickly was also not an option.
Ugh, that sucks. Freak 5 joined us in chat. What's up, Freak 5?
And according to him, he is awesome.
Yep, Freak 5 awesome this time. Dungeon Buster's in there and Gripper's in there. I don't know if I mentioned that before. All right, Mug, next story, please.
Let's see here. Yes. Where'd it go? Psychopaths. I just had the damn story up.
It ran away?
That's what she
said. It ran away.
I have it.
All right, Eric.
Nobody asked you.
I got it. I got it. Psychopaths. Mandatory happiness for PS4, PS Vita launches September in the West, and this one's coming to us live from Gematsu, an altogether better site.
Yeah.
Psychopaths. Mandatory happiness will launch for PlayStation 4 and PS Vita on September 13th in North America and September 16th in Europe. And this is noteworthy because someone's actually bringing over the Vita release of something in the U.S. The game is also coming to PC via Steam. More information on that version will be announced at a later date. NIS America also announced a limited edition version of the game, which will be available for $69.99 on PlayStation 4 and $59.99 on PS Vita via Amazon and the NIS America online store. And it includes a deluxe softcover art book, about 7 inches by 10 inches, 72 pages. Indulge in the game's gorgeous artwork and check out commentary from the cast in this deluxe art book. Yeah. Soundtrack CD and jewel case. Re-enter the world of Psychopaths with this selection of songs directly from the game. 3 pencil board. Okay. Practice drawing your own dystopian world on these pencil boards decorated with special promotional artwork. A microfiber cloth. Polish your game system or glasses to a mirror shine with this handy microfiber cloth. What?
Something you could buy in a store.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I know. I mean, collectible box. Keep all of the above neat and organized in this sturdy, specially designed box. That's awful.
This is one of the weirdest special editions. This is what? I mean, what the hell?
There is the soundtrack.
Yeah, well, it just says soundtrack. It doesn't say how many tracks, so it probably means like 12 tracks or something.
Five or six.
Yeah, this doesn't sound like you're going to get the full thing on it. The art book, 72 pages, probably each on each side. I mean, 72 is not bad, because usually it's like 30 or 40.
Yeah, Freak 5 missed my review of the ending of the last season of Walking Dead last week. Yeah, I don't know if you listened to it, Freak, but I actually made it my sweet-o for different reasons other than the shitty cliffhanger ending.
You know what upsets me the most about just Why do I hear an ad?
I have no idea.
Stupid fucking whatever website. Anyway, the thing that pissed me off the most is just that he doesn't use the F word.
Yeah, I know. I kind of agree with you on that. In thinking about it, they need to do a retro version for the Blu-ray where he uses.
That's what I was thinking. Like, what's the big deal with bleeping it out? Like, I watch shows all the time where they bleep out the F word, and it's no big deal. Like, they'll say it like five times, and it's like beep 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 whatever, and then they go on through their sentence. Like, it's not that big of a deal.
Mm.
Then you buy it on the Blu-ray, and you don't have to worry about that shit. Even though it's stupid to
always be like Battlestar Galactica, and everybody could say frack all the time.
Yeah.
Hey, no. The point of this character was he was a wordsmith of the F word.
Yeah. Actually, that's actually very accurate. Let's see. Freak 5 just got done killing you in chat break, so there you go. All right, let's move on
to
the next one.
You mean like he attached fuck to someone, some other word?
No, they really didn't.
He would say you fucking. You fucking bitch ass twat I don't know. That's not good. Never mind.
It was part of his character.
He'd say like fuck every other word.
He would use it in creative ways. Combine it with other words in creative ways.
Yes. And it was
that what I asked.
Yeah. All right, Eric. Let's move on to the next story.
Next story is from Gamatsu and. This is probably not going to inspire confidence for a sequel for Valkyrie Profile, but Square's doing a Valkyrie Anatomia for smartphones.
Oh, yay.
And the gameplay will probably suck ass because it's on smartphones.
Did you never play Gauntlet?
Yeah.
Valkyrie. Your life force is running out.
Right. Valkyrie. Valkyrie.
Valkyrie shot the food.
That bitch!
Didn't you hate that shit when people used to shoot the food? Like, you're just about ready to get some health, and some dumbass elf
should play
next year. Why are these foods exploding when you shoot them? I mean,
know, it's so stupid.
They turn into
shot the food. You bitch ass warrior, fuck you!
No, that's what the explosion's from. Your outburst of anger when you realize that they blew up the food.
Yeah.
Mm,
all right, Gripper says the new stream that I put on Ustream has been working good, but I don't know why you're having a problem on the WRN site, Gripper. It should be working.
In Gauntlet Dark Legacy, if there's a poison trap that's next to food, it's technically counted as shooting, so that also sucks.
And Freak's asking me if I heard his thoughts on who may have died. It's an easy one to figure out, Freak. There have been all kinds of internet rumors and all that shit, but it's got to be Glenn, man. There's no other choice. I would like to see Glenn. That would be the logical best choice.
Maybe it'll be Coral.
Who?
Coral.
Pearl? Who the fuck is Pearl?
Coral.
Coral. Oh. Coral. Carl.
You gotta listen to me, Coral.
Yeah. No, it's definitely not him.
I think my choice, I think personally it's Daryl.
No way it's Daryl. I mean, that show rests on Daryl's shoulders. For whatever reason, that show definitely rests on him.
Because he is amazing?
He's not amazing.
Does not hurt. That he's an attractive guy and women go completely
damp
in the crotch for him.
Yeah. Dungeon Buster says
I don't go damp in the crotch for him, but I like him.
Dungeon Buster says thanks for shooting the food, dumbass. Inserts more quarters for health, dude. That was it back in the day. Like I remember distinctly playing Gauntlet and like telling whoever was next to me, don't shoot the food. Like it didn't matter if it was a little kid.
I love playing with friends because then you fuck them over as much as you can. It was so much fun.
It was
the easiest. Well, the easiest way to fuck everyone over was to play the elf because you were faster and could get everything before anyone else.
Well, that and the warrior. If you get into small passages, the warrior. Like the elf can't get around the fucking warrior.
Yeah, the barbarian. Yeah,
yeah. I hate that people do that shit to me because I'd usually use the elf. I'd use the elf of the wizard.
He was a human shield sometimes too, man. You'd get into those.
I preferred the Valkyrie because she had the highest defense.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the wizard because he has that like that high shot power, but I like the elf because of how fast he was. Just yeah. like you're saying, especially if you got that power up to make him even faster.
Like, hey, freak,
that could just be a total dick to everybody.
Hey, the freak, damn thief,
freak five. Let me know who you think in chat. Let me know who you think died in The Walking Dead in chat. I hope it's Glenn, man. It's got to be Glenn. All right,
you can't catch me,
Breakman.
I hate that little bastard.
You know who happened? I hated worse than that was those little goddamn elves or whatever the fuck they were in that game where Golden Axe.
No, I know what you're talking about.
Goddamn
yeah,
goddamn little fucking goblins. Elves,
yeah, but they didn't steal your items like those fucking thieves in Gauntlet. They come up and steal your power up. Yeah. You fucking slayed a dragon to get the goddamn power up. That little bastard takes it from you.
Yeah,
like it was nothing. Like you mother. Exactly. And then if you kill him, like one of your friends can take that. Like, yeah, you son of a bitch.
Dungeon Buster says he remembers people lining up quarters on the cab to make it easier to refill their health. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Gauntlet was a quarter sucker, but it was fun.
Yeah. It was. Gauntlet is an awesome game. I've played almost every iteration of that game. It's a fun game. I wish they would do a new game justice. Yeah. Dungeon Buster says the gnomes and Golden Axe, those were great. You hit them and they give you potions. Yeah, they
also tried to steal your shit.
Yeah, too. They tried to steal your shit, man. And if you weren't quick enough, the motherfuckers ran off screen. I hated those goddamn things. Gnomes, that's what they were, gnomes. All right, Breakman, next story, please.
Ooh, me, yay. Coming to us live from Silicon Era. Fall in love with heroes of the Warring States, period, in Otome visual novel Destiny's Princess. Okay, that was an awful. As Nobunaga's
the sequel
daughter,
to Destiny's Child.
Yeah, exactly.
As Nobunaga's daughter, Nobunaga, Jesus, you can fall in love with various heroes of the Warring States, period, in Otome visual novel Destiny's Princess, a war story, a love story. An English version of the game is now available on Steam. The princess has had an easy life leading up to this point, but now demons.
Especially since she was in a different castle. But anyways, go ahead.
That's what you interrupted me for. Yes. And life is about to get much more difficult for her and the men in her life. Players can divide. Jesus Christ! You should just interrupt me and smack me around. Players can decide which the men they grow close to, leading up to some happy and unhappy endings depending on their actions. There's not going to be a good date. No matter the player's route, the developers promise a deep storyline for players of romance games, plenty of death and divorce and hymen breaking.
I was going to say, the only thing that determines whether or not someone's a good date is whether or not she'll put out. I'm being facetious. I'm not actually a misogynist. I do not think that way.
We weren't rushing to disagree with.
Everybody's just like, dead silence. It's like, did you say that?
we weren't rushing to get involved in any
sure
of
you aren't
that.
Getting infected by the Breakman virus.
I hope not. I'd hate to think we'd shared a sexual partner.
Oh God. Dungeon Buster says good old Oda Nobunaga. He was crazy evil in Onimusha. I remember that.
He's kind of a notorious historical figure, so
yeah. All right, is that it on that story, Break? I'm sorry to interrupt you, 50 million.
Yeah, that was it. All right. The princess is in another story. Move on.
Maybe the princess is in this story, coming to us live from Silicon Era. Dark Souls, it's getting its own board game. Many Dark Souls fans are no doubt anxiously awaiting for tomorrow when Dark Souls 3 will release worldwide. I think it's out now already.
Yeah.
However, Steamforge Games recently announced a very, very different kind of game based on the Dark Souls universe. Steamforge Games revealed that they will be teaming up with Bandai Namco Entertainment to create a Dark Souls board game. A Kickstarter campaign, of course a Kickstarter campaign, will be started sometime this month to help support the project and keep money in this company's pockets. Yet no exact date. I just kind of made that last part up. Yet no exact date has been released. Here's a look at the full statement from Steamforge Games. They're proud to announce we will be working with Bandai Namco in developing an exciting board game for the Dark Souls universe. As Dark Souls fans, we could not be more excited to be given the honor of developing a board game that embraces everything that makes Dark Souls the deep, compelling game experience that it is. What they don't tell you is that if you roll a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6, you die immediately in the game. So there you go. So yeah, launched Kickstarter during this month sometime. So there you go.
You said Kickstarter, and that's a whole other kind of stuff. Yeah.
Kickstarter, it might as well be Kickstarter.
Wait, there's a site called Kickstarter?
Yeah, exactly.
There probably will be now.
If there isn't, where's my phone at? Damn, where's my phone?
Yeah. Dungeon Buster says that's going to be messy washing the blood off the board every weekend. Exactly. So Freak 5 thinks it's Abraham. So I don't know. We'll see. All right. Here we go, guys. Next story. Eric, let's go with you.
We've got from Gamatsu. Hyper Devotion Noir for PC has been delayed to April 26th. And they didn't say why they delayed it, but it's going to launch. Probably just some bugs they need to get rid of.
I'm just kidding.
But it says it'll launch at $29.99 with a 40% discount for the first week, which I think brings it to just under $20.
Well, that's cool. That's a nice concession for the first week, so that's good.
But I do have a review code of it. And I'm actually kind of disappointed in the port. It's more – unlike the Neptunia games, it doesn't look like they've done any up-resing or improved the frame rate at all. I mean, it works, but it looks exactly like it does on the Vita.
Hmm.
So, maybe modders will do something.
There you go. All right. Maybe we'll learn more about that game when you do a further review. Eric, do you have a review for?
I've already reviewed it before for the Vita.
I gotcha.
So I don't really need to do much.
Gotcha. Just change things.
I just need to add something. It says, "Well, yeah, the port's basically a straight port, and there's nothing new about this or good or different, unless you like Steam achievements and you don't have a Vita."
So your review for this game is just a link to your original review, basically. Yeah,
exactly. Here's my review.
Yeah, that's what I do for all my old reviews. I just slightly re-added it. Although for Escon Logi Plus, I basically just – I redid most of it, and I think only the middle portion was left.
Mm. Hollywood Hulk Hogan just joined chat. What's up, MXT? I mean
– Oh, God.
Yeah, exactly. All right, I think
he's going to come into our chat, and he's not going to share those billions of dollars he has.
Exactly.
That 100 million or how much ever he just made off of Gawker.
Yeah, exactly.
What a dick, man. You come into our chat, and you don't give us any of your money.
Right.
That's not cool.
We should – yeah, just fuck that.
We didn't do anything to deserve your money, but that's still not cool.
Mm-hmm. We provide hours of entertainment.
Hollywood Hulk Hogan bathes in his Gawker dollars.
I wonder if Gawker's ever going to pay that money, or if they're just going to go into bankruptcy and just say fuck it. All right, Mug, let's go on to the next.
Yeah, they're going
to
fight that for as long as they can.
Of course.
And for our final story, coming to us live from Gematsu, it's Atlas to publish The King of Fighters XIV in the Americas. Atlas USA will publish SNK Playmore's The King of Fighters 14 for PlayStation 4 and North America in 2016, the company announced. The King of Fighters 14 uses the series' traditional 3-versus-3 battle system, and it features an expansive roster of 50 characters, all of whom are available in-game at launch. Capcom. Yeah, I know.
Yay.
Yeah, it is the series' first. It is the mainline series' first entry that uses 3D graphics, and the game's fighting engine has been meticulously refined to be more streamlined and approachable for newcomers. There are also improvements to the combo and max mode game mechanics, and the rush feature, which adds simplified combo inputs for novices. The game also offers a party battle feature, which puts two teams of three human players against each other in cooperative online team battles. A new training mode will let beginners and experienced players connect for tutoring. Here's a full rundown of the game's features. 3D evolution. All 50 fighters' movesets and more are rendered in full 3D graphics that preserves the essence of King of Fighters' visual style, but it updates it with a whole new dimension. The best refinement since the King of Fighters 98. Through extensive playtesting and balancing, the controls have been streamlined, and the combo and max mode mechanics have been overhauled to create the most competitive fighter in SNK's history. It's starting a new single-player storyline, and it has the best roster yet. There are 50 fighters total, with 31 returning from previous entries and into the King of Fighters series and 19 brand-new characters. Again, All 50 characters will be available at launch. A revamped online experience. King of Fighters 14 has devoted a lot of development time to improving the game's netcode for vastly improved online gameplay. King of Fighters 14 uses the PS4's online architecture to have a whole host of online conveniences, from spectating to saving replay and battle data and having a single online The King of Fighters 14 profile to connect with friends. And I don't know if you guys have been keeping up with it, but like they've released like 11 teaser trailers for this game so far. You know, it's like 45 seconds each and just like showcasing two new characters in each one. And
to know one thing.
What?
Is King in it?
As far as I know, yes.
Okay.
No, King and King of Fighters.
Oh, wait, yeah, there is a King character. I forgot.
Yeah.
That's my character. As long as she's in it, I'm good.
Yeah, the bouncer girl. But yeah, as far as I know, she's in it. But like with every trailer I see, it looks better and better. It's like they keep like refining the graphics engine. And the animations look really good. It looks like it controls like a KOF should. And I'm pretty hyped for it.
Have you played the Maximum Impact games that... Yeah, we're on the
I've got them.
Series. I think it no, looks
those are KOF. Those are it was King of Fighters Maximum Impact, but no, those games play quite differently. I mean, they're still high. They're actually extremely fast, but they have like a dial-a combo system, like chain combos with button taps and stuff like that.
You mean like Tekken?
I don't know. I don't play Tekken. They also had full 3D movement. Which this game is not.
Freak 5 says Hollywood Hulk Hogan bought a Prius with his Gawker Millions. Oh man, that's good. I like that. Eric, did you have one more before we went on?
Two more that I forgot to put in here.
And notice one thing we haven't covered is East 8 at all.
Yeah.
We haven't covered it because we don't have any release date stuff.
Yeah. I like actually, release dates before
they announced release dates. They announced contents of the limited edition.
Huh? They did?
Yes! It's been all over Silicon Era and Gematsu.
I must have missed it this week. Yeah. I played a lot of a certain game this week, that's why.
So what do you got going, Eric? Let's
move on. I'll put them in next week then.
Yeah, we'll talk about it next week.
But these are from Gematsu, and... Shin Megami Tensei 4 Apocalypse is coming to America this summer. It says America, so I guess that means South America is getting it too.
Huh. Interesting.
But I think they get everything we get most of the time anyway.
Well, they import a lot of our shit down there.
But it used to be called Final. They went with Apocalypse. Because Final just is too Japanese.
Final just didn't sound apocalyptic enough. I don't know what the difference was.
And they decided to call it Apocalypse because they wanted to make use of the anarchist logo that's put on top of the peace sign in the logo. And so, hey, there's already an A here. Let's just call it Apocalypse, even though it's kind of redundant because you're technically already in the Apocalypse.
Yeah. Dungeon Buster says he hopes Lacrimosa.
So is it the apocalypse of the apocalypse?
Yeah, there you go. Dungeon Buster says he hopes Lacrimosa makes it over here. Yeah.
I'm sure it will.
That's East 8, Lacrimosa of Donna.
Yeah, you were talking... Were you just talking about the Japanese release?
Of East 8?
Yeah.
Yeah, but now, I mean, it's... The games, like the Vita version is coming out.
About it.
Yeah, the Vita version is coming out this year, the PS4 version next year.
All right.
Yeah, but it's, as far as I'm concerned, it's Japan, so.
It's East. East is special. I'm calling it now. East 8, better than Dragon Quest 8.
Oh, get out of here. Nothing's better than Dragon Quest 8, son of a bitch. Yeah, I'm sitting here being all just listening to you guys, and then I have to hear that. Get out of here, mug.
Anyways, if you want me to read the quote as to why they want to call it Apocalypse, do you want me to do that?
Go right ahead, man.
It says, in a blog post, Atlas discussed a bit about the game's name change for the Western world. Said it needed a subtitle that makes sense, sounds good, and looks good on the box, as well as something that wasn't too long to... due to the way the logo appears in the game and due to the A already being in the logo, which Japanese designers added, is as a part of the word final to highlight the duality of chaos and law in the game. Subtitle had no clue in A. It will be coming at, let's see, it doesn't have an exact date, but it originally came out back in February 10th in Japan.
I've heard of Lacrimosa before.
But Canadians get screwed for this game because it's going to cost $15 US, but it's going to be $64.99 in Canada.
Oof. Wow.
Lacrimosa of Donna is the subtitle of East 8.
Yeah. Okay, if you think we're trolling you, Frank, you should read what Freak5 Chaos said in chat.
Oh my god.
Ooh, Freak 5. Oh, damn.
Freak 5.
Fighting works.
That deserves a kick out of chat, man.
Age 2 is better than Dragon Quest 8.
Oh my god. That is the
Bizarre World.
To be fair,
that's not saying much.
As Dungeon Buster
Son
said.
Son of a bitch, you're Exile 2.
Down god the damn gauntlet. It.
God damn it. You guys, Mug is exiled and so is Freak. Exiled.
Would I be exiled if I said Frank likes Dragon Quest 8 a little too much?
Exiled!
Messenger has been banned.
Exiled! Son of a bitch.
Let's not mince words here. Dragon Quest 8 does not have Fenris.
Oh, God. And exiled. Fenris is you're amazing. Fucking exiled. You. Everybody's exiled except for Ripper and Dungeon Buster. There you go.
Anyways, the other article.
Oh, and you, Brace.
Oh, a train simulator is better than Dragon Quest 8.
Freak 5 is exiled doubly. Double exile.
I guess, wait. Dungeon Buster just LOL'd at it, so you'll have to exile him too.
Dungeon Buster's exiled. Damn it. I didn't want to, Dungeon Buster. Didn't want to do it.
I'm waiting for MXT to throw
in. Frank, you should play Dragon Quarter.
I should play Dragon Quarter.
I took it to the machine and I got a Dragon Token instead. Can I play with that?
Oh my god, MXT is exiled. You son of a bitch.
The game does have save tokens in it, so I guess you could. Anyways, the other article I had is Rage Against got a date for May 3rd.
Dungeon Buster.
That's a PlayStation Vita game made by Experience.
Oh my god.
Dungeon Buster just said Frank has a Dragon Quest 8 body pillow.
I hate you all. I'm gonna.
You have a Jessica body pillow, don't you?
Oh God, I'm gonna quit and become a security guard. This this shit is insane.
Good, you get another job. We're giving you job security.
Then you can really exile people.
Yeah, exactly. Go over to MXT's town and exile him. MXT says he agrees with me on Walking Dead. He'll have to get my thoughts on it. Yeah, I haven't did anything DMT. Related. I did talk about it last week, MXT. I liked the last episode. I just hated the cliffhanger ending. Cliffhanger's bullshit. It's they ruined.
Freak 5, I don't think Frank damaged his Dragon Quest 8 dicks just so he could or his case just so he could fuck it because he loves Dragon Quest too much.
You guys
on the Atari is better than Dragon Quest 8.
I
hate that game, but I'll defend it. Like it got way too much hate.
It's not the disaster that people make it out to be.
It's an absolute disaster. That game sucks, and Freak 5, you're exiled for a third time. You're going for a record today, man.
E.T.'s a better game than Haunted House Cryptic Graves.
Unlike most Atari games.
I was going to say, the original Haunted House was awesome.
You could actually win that game, like the original Haunted House. You could actually win.
Yeah, I saw Kornchak beat the game.
He beat the Haunted House on the Atari?
A lot of Atari games never ended. You play them over, like Yar's Revenge, for instance, by the same creator.
Wait a minute. You could actually beat Haunted House on the Atari?
Yeah, you can win.
What?
Many times.
Holy fuck.
You complete the chalice and escape.
The game looks like every other Atari game, so...
Yeah, I mean, there's no end. I mean, that you just keep playing and it keeps getting harder. But, I mean, you could get through and, complete the levels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You win and you get the little, the screen flashes different colors. Like, that was a celebration back in Atari days.
Well, I remember beating
Adventure.
Sort of Adventure.
Like beating the Adventure game. Like, the screen would flash different colors. Like, yeah, you win. Yay for you.
Yeah, I remember Adventure. I didn't know there was an ending to Haunted House. God damn it. Now you guys got...
No, it's not an ending. It's you win, basically, and then you can start a new game.
Mm.
I'm just saying that you could actually win.
Yeah, it was beatable. You know, it wasn't
E.T. did actually have to sort of have an ending that, like, the ship would show up and E.T. would leave on the ship.
Yeah, and then you just start over again. But that was pretty much every 2600 game was like that.
Yeah.
And Freak 5Cast says, I love Yars Revenge. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying Yars Revenge.
I have to wonder if E.T. had the phone home such so he could get a booty call.
I can't believe you guys.
That would explain his excitement.
I would have fucking helped him more.
Damn.
Like, if he was trying to get back to his parents, I'd be like, dude, you're growing up, man. It's time to be an adult. But if he was trying to get back to a booty call, I'd do everything I could to help him get back. I understand. Yeah. I'd help.
What was I going to say? There was a game, Indiana Jones. I don't know if it was Lost Ark or whatever the fuck they called it.
It was just called Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Dungeon Buster says Haunted House didn't end whenever you beat it. It put you into another house and raised difficulty. But you beat the, you know, like you'd actually beat it. Unlike what, like I was saying, like Yard's Revenge, like there were two stages that basically just repeated over and over and over again.
But no, they did get more difficult. Like the pattern of the, you get like the rotating blocks.
Yeah.
And like you would get some stages without the neutral zone. And there were some where you couldn't, like the what was it called? The quotile. The thing that you were just trying to destroy, you know, it would do that spinning thing and it would start shooting itself out at you.
How do you remember the
name to it? I don't know.
What do you mean? The game came with a little comic book that explained the story of it.
Yeah, but I read all those comics too, and I don't remember the Atari Force comics. By the way, fucking some of they were so fucking awesome. I love those.
And did you ever? I actually had the complete 20-issue run of the sequel series that they published independently, like the DC did independently.
No,
Freak 5 is exiled again. You are exiled.
If you liked the original Atari Force, check out the other series. That was actually really good.
I was really young. I don't really remember Atari Force ones.
I remember throwing.
I remember reading all of them, and I'd read them over and over again because I loved them. But I can't really remember them.
I remember my first case of game rage was with Raiders of the Lost Ark, but Dungeon Buster does point out something.
Which Sword Quest comic could have been finished? I was gonna say the comic that came with Sword Quest was better than the game.
It was. And what's funny, it was meant to be it was meant to be an unofficial sequel to Adventure. It was just not good. You know, the funny thing was there were supposed to, you know, there were three of those games. There were supposed to be four of them.
It was supposed to be four, right? But they only made three of them because
And Waterworld only got released through the Atari Age magazine.
Yeah, Dungeon Buster brings up a good point. Raiders of the Lost Ark was one of the first, it was one of the only Atari games I remember having an inventory system. So,
yeah, I mean, it was actually pretty advanced for its time. It was just like ridiculously obtuse.
Oh God, it was kind of so like a difficult.
Riddle of the Sphinx. Remember that one?
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
I remember seeing ads for it, like on the big full page ads on the back of comics, basically talking about how this game will make you pull your hair out was essentially the gist of it.
Freak 5 is exiled once again. Freak 5 is exiled.
What's wrong with Tic-Tac-Toe, Frank?
Oh God, it's not better than DQ8, man.
It's been around for a very long time, Frank. I don't know if you can say it's not better than
DQ8. I created Tic-Tac-Toe, you son of a bitch. So yes,
you are certainly old enough to have done it, but I don't think that's actually true.
Dungeon Buster says everyone still thinks that the sword prize is somewhere in Tramiel's mansion or something. So there you go. A little bit of history there. God, I can't believe we're talking.
And I think like one of the prizes, there were supposed to be five total. And one of them, I remember like the first one that got one, the guy apparently like melted it down and sold it to pay for college or something like that.
Well, that's cool. It's cool talking of old school Atari type shit, you know? I even remember playing like Ultima on a floppy disk on a Commodore.
I didn't get most of those Atari games until like it was basically like the crash of the games because that was when they.
Oh yeah, because I remember there was a Revco like just across the way from where I lived at the time, and they had this bin full of brand new games for $2 a piece.
Yeah, there was something like that.
Get a couple new games every week, basically.
It was 50 cents at whatever store we went to, and my mom was like, pick out whatever you want.
Yeah.
And we just got so many games that day, and like we got the Atari and everything. It was great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was late to really – like I played Atari before, but I'd never like owned one, you know.
I never owned one. I always went to a friend's house and played Atari. We did get an NES, though.
Hmm.
Yeah, I did go to friends' houses and play things like Frogger and Pac-Man.
The Crown for Waterworld.
I hate Pac-Man now, but back then, like, it was all we had. So, whatever.
Yeah. Well, Dungeon Buster says no one's sure where the Philosopher's Stone is. The Crown for Waterworld is in what's his face's house? The guy that starred in that movie. What's his name? Famous actor. God damn it, Kevin Costner. It's in Kevin Costner's house, man. That's where it's at.
Wait, I thought they made a Philosopher's Stone though.
Oh, not that Waterworld. Okay,
not that Waterworld.
I got confused. Isn't that what happens when you sacrifice all the people? Like they made a stone from that. I thought.
Really, yes, old exactly Greg showing the prizes.
That's totally exactly what it is.
Hmm. All right.
Are we talking about the same thing? No?
Eric, probably not. Anything else, Eric? Do we have another? Flappy Bird is better than DQ8. Get out of here, Freak 5.
Yeah, I got to hate you for that one too, Freak. What the fuck?
No, I don't got anything.
All right.
Flappy Bird.
Although we got homie discounts, don't we?
Yep. On to homie discounts.
You want
to
bring that goddamn game into the mix, Freak, huh?
You know, it's funny. I actually play that to this day on
You know what's better than Dragon Quest VIII? Rape Lay.
Nothing is better than Dragon Quest VIII.
Did you say Rape Play?
Play, yes. Or Battle Raper 2.
Street Fighter 4.
Street Fighter 4. All right.
No, it's a real thing.
What do we have?
It is a real thing. I've played it. It's stupid. Competently made, I'll say that. It's not. God. There's not much to it, though.
I wonder if it's actually the sequel to Street Fighter.
It probably is.
There is no 2 or 3. They just called it Street Fighter 4 to be a parody of Street Fighter 4.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right,
it's
Eric.
It's kind of like Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo, you know.
Yeah. Homie discounts.
The Sexy Fools Indie Gala bundle that I mentioned last week is still up, and there's like 2 days left on it.
Yeah, make sure and get your Eroge on. And there you go. I'll go ahead and put that in chat. Let me go ahead and copy that and put that in chat. All right, Eric, what else have we got?
I didn't put this in here, but Final Fantasy IX for PC is out now, and you can get it for 20% off until the 20th.
Right.
At Greenman Gaming.
Street Fighter is better than DQ8. Get out of here.
I think Steam has an actual sale, but it's cheaper on Greenman Gaming.
Yeah, I think the Steam sale is like the Greenman Gaming one I think is like a dollar or two less.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm gonna look at it right now just to see.
All right, break. Twitter questions. Do we have any? Breakman.
No, I didn't. I don't actually see anything.
No, it's actually exactly the same. So if you don't want to go through Greenman and Gaming, you just get on Steam.
I need to go find my phone real quick. Hold on.
All right.
But go on, and I'll be right back.
All right. While Breakman's looking...
Something tells me that the sale on Greenman and Gaming might last longer than the 20th.
Hmm. All right. So what have you guys been playing? We'll start with you, Eric.
I've been playing basically just... more Knights of Azure. I completed the game and got the normal ending, but there's like several endings that you can get after you beat the game and try to go through the normal route, but I haven't done that. I decided I'm just going to watch a video on YouTube, and I was lucky enough to find one and just watch the other endings there. Right. And a review for that will hopefully be up by Monday, if not sooner. I have to write it tomorrow. And I played some Shiny Days. I got through one or three, maybe four routes out of like 44 endings. So only 40 more to go. And I played the Bravely Second demo.
That's all I did. All right. What about you, Mug?
Well, I've been playing a lot more, the primary thing I've been playing is A Link Between Worlds. I finished, like, all of the regular dungeons, so I just have to do a little bit of, hunting around for some more stuff before I go to the final dungeon.
I've been doing some more grinding in Dead Rising 2 off the record and playing some Galaxy every, you know, here and there. Game is still frustrating, still extremely hard, but still fun. So,
Freak5 says he's been playing Super Castlevania 4. Game had me cussing more than 30 minutes than I have in the last 10 years.
Yeah, that game gets really freaking hard.
Yeah. It's fun. But it's frustrating at the same time. It's it's not one that
the
you.
The hardest parts for me in Super Castlevania 4 were probably level 8, I think, which is the dungeon, and
the dungeon is where the game, where the difficulty really starts to ramp up.
The dungeon and the free fiends. I think Dracula is a lot easier than those guys.
Yeah.
Even death is easier than the three fiends, because it's not even so much Death and Gay Beyond that are difficult. It's Slogger that's difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, Slogger and Gaibon.
Dungeon Buster says he's been dipping into Dark Souls 3. How are you liking that, Dungeon Buster? Looks awesome. I don't have PS4 or
dipping
Xbox.
What?
Yeah, dipping what into Dark Souls 3? Anything on Twitter, Break?
I want to find my phones because I don't have my Breakman account on the computer. I just have I just have the RP Grinders. I don't have my password for it. But there was nothing for RP Grinders, but there was something that somebody sent to me on Twitter that pissed me off about. It was a reaction to what I said last week about John Crawford and stuff. I said some more on Twitter, and some jackass just had to respond to me with some shit that really irritated the shit out of me. So I wanted to read them to you.
Yo, let's hear it.
Okay, there are two tweets. Crawford was carrying a gun that was undistinguishable from a real, out of the package, didn't drop it when police told him. Told him to.
Are you kidding me? They actually believe that?
The police were in there and shot him within just a few seconds. So I call bullshit on all that. And he sent me another one. This is where I'm just maybe, you know, you're not an asshole. You're just saying, this is what it is, except the whole you're welcome part. But the second one is, glad I could clear that up for you there, bro. It's easier if you try to remember these two words, personal responsibility.
Oh, my God.
Oh, okay, so he's just a dickbag.
Who is that? So we can fucking
officially... His name is Biff Hard Steel.
Yeah.
Biff Hard Steel. A good name for anybody.
Biff Hard Steel.
Slab, Junk Rock.
Yeah, that sounds like something that would come out of the mouth of Duke Nukem.
So I tore apart his arguments with a few tweets. And of course, people like him don't have the balls to respond.
Fucking piece of shit.
But yeah, so that was the Twitter that I got.
Seriously,
so anyway.
Though, I think people named Biff are cursed to be assholes.
Yeah. I don't think that's his actual name.
So he called himself
Biff because he's an asshole.
Yeah, probably. I agree with the personal responsibility. Like, there are people that get themselves killed. I mean, that's why there's a thing called suicide by cop. You know.
So this guy is not allowed to go into Walmart and purchase a BB gun. Apparently, that's what this guy's saying. I mean, unless you're white. I mean, I guarantee.
Well, one of the things I threw at him was, well, guess what? In Ohio, it's not illegal to have an assault rifle.
Yeah,
in public.
So chew on that, fuckface. There you go. Yeah. That's a great counter argument. Great counter argument. Yeah, you can actually carry him into businesses.
So for them to say, even if the cops are drop your weapon, and he doesn't respond immediately, there's no reason to shoot.
Yeah, he didn't point.
Generally speaking, they're still going to give you a second to process what has just been said to you.
Yeah,
yeah, and if you watch the video, which unfortunately I can't forget, because it's horrifying, you realize that he didn't realize what was going on until the gunshots were fired.
Yeah,
until
exactly.
He was hit with a bullet. Like,
he
what the
never,
fuck?
Never at any point in that video pointed a gun at anybody. I defy anybody to argue that point with me. Lagoon is not better than DQ8, Freak 5. Get the hell
Lagoon,
out of
Lagoon,
Exile.
Oh, God.
Exile.
Very slow-paced action RPG.
I'm trying to think if I've played that one. What system was it for?
I don't
Super
know.
Nintendo.
I might have. Okay. I might have. Right. Damn it.
All right, so we got to do... No. What have
you
been
can't
playing?
Get it, I don't think it's on the Wii U virtual console. I think it's on the WiiWare. Wii Shop channel.
The Lost Worlds is better than DQ. Get out of here, freak. All right, break.
I hate that game.
Break, you, what have you been playing?
I have not played very much because I've been busy. I did play a little bit of the beta for the new mode in Halo. They're bringing their firefight back to Halo, which is awesome. I just love all these updates they keep adding. They don't charge me. I'm like,
yeah. You know. Oh, I just, as speaking of Halo, I saw the I decided to take a look in the at the cinemas that they had Blur do for the anniversary of Halo 2. Mm-hmm. Halo 2 anniversary update. That is seriously some of the best CG I've ever seen.
Wow.
I mean, it's crazy how good that looks.
CGI's been getting better and better.
But I mean, seriously, look up the cinemas for Halo 2 anniversary. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, the facial animations and stuff are like, and in still shots you look at it, it's like, that's real, isn't it? No, it's not. Oh fuck, that's actually CG.
You know, I'm gonna have to play it.
I haven't played the anniversary version.
I actually got pulled in a movie theater with the Uncharted demo. I went to go get something from the concessions. And when I got back, they were playing part of the Uncharted, the new Uncharted game trailer. And I actually got
pulled.
Yeah, that CG was really on point. Yeah. I was really surprised. I didn't even realize.
Blur is the company that's done like a lot of the CG trailers and stuff. Mm. Like, if you remember the one for Mass Effect 2,
yeah.
That one was like, wow, that looks really good. And it's like, there's this highlight reel of basically like all the stuff that Blur has done over the years, and they are consistently on the cutting edge of CG animation.
Yeah, they're getting really time. Good.
Might have to see really that reel.
Because I mean, like, at the beginning of Halo 4, there's a thing where you see this, like, this someone's interviewing or interrogating Dr. Halsey, who's like this behind the Spartan program, and I was like, is that live action? Mm-hmm. It looks like live. Wait. Then I sat here for a good 45 seconds trying to figure out if I was looking at CG or not.
Yeah,
there were a couple scenes like that in Halo. Yeah. In Halo 4.
It's getting really good. Like, really, really good. So
when you see people put in, you know, it takes a lot of money to make CG look that good. But what's funny is that you can see, like, mediocre CG actually looks pretty decent nowadays.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I tried watching the movie of Heavenly Sword, and for some reason it actually looks worse than the in-game footage of the that launch, the PS3 launch title. You know, the only improvement is that it's, you know, the frame rate is better. But I mean, just detail wise, the game itself actually looks much, much better. And the movie is terrible. I fell asleep.
Meanwhile, in Japan, anime as the worst CG ever.
Yeah,
it's like, why don't you update, you stupid morons?
Yeah, I agree with that. There's no.
It's not just that it looks like it doesn't have textures, but it's also that its frame rate is ridiculously low.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. I've been playing a little bit of MPQ, of course. I did get a few more abilities to. The problem with MPQ is they want you to pay to win, and I'm not willing to do that. I'm still having a ton of fun. I'm slowly but surely gaining abilities for all my characters. I have like 43 characters, which is really cool. But I can't use most of them because they're not powerful enough. So, you know, whatever. It's just a leisurely game for me anyways. A little bit of Twilight Princess. Really enjoying the HD version of it, so... it's a good game. All right, let's move on to our Stinkos of the Week. Let's start with you, Mug.
Well, I got a traffic ticket today, a speeding ticket. I was not happy about that.
Oh, I hate this.
I mean, and to be fair, it was my fault. And the cop was nicer than he probably should have been. I was driving through an area of town that I'm not used to, and it happened to be it was early. It was because it was like, you know, like quarter after two, and school was letting out. I was like, well, shit. And I was like, I'm going like 46 miles an hour, and it's a 25 mile per hour school zone.
Wow.
And I was like, fuck. And it's like, I turned around, it's like, shit, I'm going too fast. I hit the brakes, I see the cop, and it's like, lights come on. Like, fuck, he's coming after me. And, you know, I guarantee you, if I had been black, I would not have gotten him. He would not have, you know, bumped the ticket down for me.
I was going to ask you about that. How would the experience have been if you were of a different color?
Probably very different, because I could have been charged, you know, almost $200 and gotten a 4-point violation.
Yeah.
And actually, what he could have done, since it's over 15 miles per hour, he could have done reckless driving, which is a 6-point violation and immediate suspension of your license.
Ooh. What Damn, they got some you? Rough rules in North Carolina.
Did he call you
South
boy?
Carolina?
I'm sorry, South Carolina.
No, I was also very, very obviously older than him. Like, he could not have been older than like 28 at the most.
So what did he end up giving you?
It was he knocked it down to speeding under 10, which is like 85 and change and 2 points.
Yeah, that's not bad. You can even get that down.
It's frustrating because like I don't know what's up with me. I've been apparently I've got a lead foot now. Or I just don't pay enough attention to speed to the traffic signs, because I've gotten in the last year and a half I've gotten 3 speeding tickets. Wow. And I went for years not having any. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with me? I don't know what's going on.
You're turning into me.
It's frustrating.
I've lost count of how many speeding tickets I've got.
Yeah, and the other thing is I have to. I'm going in for surgery on Tuesday.
Ooh.
to deal with the complications from not botched, but just complications from a vasectomy.
Mm.
Right. You said wow. You talked about that. And yes.
Yeah. And it's a spermatocelectomy, which is basically I've got this little lump of fluid, which probably sperm cells that's just sitting in my scrotal sac and wow. causing me unbelievable pain.
Wow, dude!
So they're taking that out, and when you're looking at the description of the surgery, you're getting like spermatocelectomy. Okay, I get that. And then, what was it? Scrotal exploration. I'm like, I don't like the sound of that at all.
Yeah, no, that's not cool, man. That's no,
and but I mean, I will say that the recovering from it is gonna suck. I just hope that it takes care of everything, and the end result. I'm hoping I won't have this pain anymore.
Yeah. Let's hope for the best.
If I had known that this was going to happen when I was getting it done, I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, I know, man. That sucks.
But, I'm not getting one ever.
Well, the thing is, most people don't get one. I just had a run of bad luck, essentially.
Mm. Yeah, it doesn't happen very often.
I was the poster child for worst case scenario.
Yeah, that sucks, man. I hope everything works out. If you need to take a week or two off after that, obviously we'll know. But wow. Well, let me go on to mine since we're talking health. Related issues. Wifix finally. This is both my Stinko and Sweeto. Wifix finally got diagnosed with fibromyalgia, which is a debilitating, for lack of a better word, disease. It's a disease. It's just pain. Like
I think it's considered a syndrome. Did they not know what's causing it?
No, there's it's a disease of exclusion. So you go through all the. Rigmarole of every.
Well, no, there is a difference. A disease is something where they can determine the etiology of it, like where it's coming from. If they can't determine what it is, it's called a syndrome.
No,
I learned this specifically because my wife has Meniere's syndrome.
Yeah, no.
Which is like this chronic vertigo.
Yeah.
And if it's idiopathic, it's Meniere's syndrome. If they can trace it to a specific cause, it's Meniere's disease.
They can definitely basically what it is. It's pain all over your body. It manifests in different ways, but the way it was explained today is basically Wifix's immune system or her brain translates outside sources like light, sound, touch, amplified times 10. So if there was, most people you can kind of like grab your arm and, very forcefully. And it's not really going to hurt that bad. If you did that to Wifix, it would hurt her really bad. So it's basically an amplification of the nerves and the signals that are sent to the brain. There's no dialing it down. I mean, you can manage it with medication and stuff like that. But you got to figure out what works, what doesn't, et cetera, et cetera. So it's just it's a horrible disease. It's definitely a disease. It's not like people were – I mean, she's even had doctors that were telling her that she was crazy. And
no, I mean, I'm not saying that it's not real, but the thing is, it's whether or not they can determine if they can't determine a precise cause, then it's classified as a syndrome instead of a disease.
Fibromyalgia is not a syndrome, Mug. It is definitely a disease. It affects nerves, the brain's capacity to input the information that's gathered by those nerves. This is the best way that I can explain it in a scientific type deal. Freak 5 has to go, and he's exiled. Later, Freak. But yeah,
it takes a while for that exiling to kick in, doesn't it?
Oh man, I was looking up a chat, and I was like, man, that guy needs another exile before he leaves. But yes, it is. It's awful. It's this has been a 2-year process to get somebody to even diagnose it is almost impossible. So. Big sense of relief in this household after we got that. I mean, we kind of felt it based on a lot of reading on the internet and talking with people and, you know, dealing with one doctor after another. I mean, we basically put two and two together, and finally today, it's finally here. So so that ties into my Sweeto too. And I'll talk about another Sweeto in a minute, but let's go on to Eric. What's your stinko, Eric?
Well, I got two. One's really small, though.
Yeah,
like more Hollywood westernizing, Ghost in the Shell live action movies going through.
Yeah, yeah, that's definitely some bullshit.
Well, look, when I first saw it, I was like,
I wasn't finished. Please
go ahead, Eric.
I have something to say about. You know, Scarlett Johansson, I don't really care that she's going to be Makoto, because if you consider Makoto's situation, she has a chassis of a robot, and she's a cyborg, and her entire body has been replaced with a machine. So her looking Asian is not even really important. What is important is the setting of where Ghost in the Shell takes place in the first place. I think that won't translate well to a westernization.
I don't have a problem.
You're going to lose a lot of subtext, which is necessary for what everything that happens in that.
Unless she has
now they've got this movie with the name slapped on it that sort of steals its elements but isn't really the thing.
It's kind of weird, though. They have an obviously white woman with a very Asian name. Don't you think?
Well, she's hot, so she can pretty much do anything.
Well, actually, from what I understood, they've dropped her name. They're just calling her the Major.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's even more generic now. Yay.
Well, I don't know. Like, I tried watching Ghost in the Shell. I was like, this is incredibly boring.
I wasn't a fan of the first movie, but I liked the series. I really enjoyed the series.
I watched the first movie. I'm like, this is so dull.
Yeah, it was boring as hell. I agree with you.
Yeah,
it's not for everybody.
This is definitely a weird case where I agree with both of you guys. I'm not a big fan of the first movie either. I also felt it was rather dull.
Innocence is a better movie.
You know what's kind of
like watching. Remember? Did you guys ever see the CG Appleseed movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like I was like it looked nice, and I was like, I really wanted to like it, and I just didn't. I'm like, this is
you know,
so boring.
You know what?
Yeah, I'd rather just watch the original Appleseed.
You know what? One of the most
I haven't even seen the original one, and I want to see it now.
Most overrated fucking animes in history is Fist of the North Star. What people see in that piece of shit, I really don't know. I just like the violence, that's all. Oh God, it's awful.
I don't hate Fist of the North Star. It's not. I mean, it's not the best.
They like the atatatas and the heads exploding.
Oh my God, it's awful. It is like.
Excuse me. If we're going to talk Fist of the North Star, this has to be done. Hokuto, Sakuretsu Ken.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
probably a better version of anything.
I don't know how they look. Hang on. I don't know how they localized it in like anime and stuff, but I remember in the original Viz comic localization, they called it the 100 Crack Fist of the North Star. Yeah, which is literally Hokuto is North Star, Hyaku is 100, Retsu is like break, and Ken is fist.
100 Track Vista, the North Star.
I hate that movie.
I think the movie's better than the TV series.
I think that Frank just hates the movie because the girl has no nipples.
No, I hate the movie because it's just awful and boring. I can't remember what
Phil
website
played the character in that dub.
I can't remember what website
the guy played Uncle Phil.
I can't remember what website did a.
Oh, I loved him as a voice actor.
Yeah, I can't remember what website did kind of a mock-up or like a review of that. And they gave it a D on a scale of A to F, and they said this steaming pile of shit, you know. And they went on and on. It really is. It's
they red-lettered it.
Oh God, I really don't know how that movie got so famous here. Like, I don't. It's beyond me. So.
I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that it is so violent. And when it was first introduced, Americans were just like, violence in a cartoon? Sign me up.
Yeah.
And it was like a lot of novelty factor.
I mean, later on, they did that anime Berserk,
which
was awesome.
Fist of North Star is how I felt about Ninja Scroll.
Oh God, I love Ninja Scroll.
I hated Ninja Scroll.
That was a mistake of my youth.
Oh my God, I love Ninja
Scroll.
I love Ninja Scroll.
Exactly, Frank is
like
correct.
All these. So many of these character designs, which are like directly lifted from Samurai Showdown.
Who
all
cares?
The weird, pointless sex scenes. And the
you mean rape scenes for the most part?
Yeah. Mostly for the most part, yes.
Scene?
But I think there's one consensual sex scene. Mm. I mean, it was one of those movies that it had nice animation. You know, it looked nice. It was kind of like what was it?
Now, that's Madhouse for you.
And like Wicked City and Demon City Shinjuku were two other movies I think done by the same animation studio.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of which had a lot of sex in it, but.
It's like the
but
same
also
guys
had that, just yeah. high quality animation.
Yeah,
I remember did you guys ever see that one, Demon City Shinjuku?
Yeah, I did. I have that on DVD.
Yeah, and I was like, I remember like I saw the trailers for it, and I was like, this looks amazing. And then I was like, I watched the movie. I'm like, this is not nearly as good as it was made to look.
No, it wasn't as great. It was okay.
Like the final confrontation was like, /Dead.
Yep, dead.
What the hell just happened?
Wicked City's a better movie, and it's not even that good either.
I like Wicked City.
That's sort of like the Ninja Scroll series where they didn't even show the final fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, oh, exactly. Yeah. Like, at the end, like, you just... he goes to fight the bad guy, and then, like, they go to something else in
the
story.
Guy's name. The guy's name was Kibagami Jube, and I'm thinking, like, Samurai Shodown, there's Kibagami Genjuro and Yagyu Jube. Like, I wonder if they kind of mesh things up a little bit. It's like every single one of the characters can be, like, directly tied. The blind guy in that movie looks exactly like Ukyo in Samurai Shodown. It's like the only difference is his coloration.
Mm. Yeah.
It was so bad.
Yeah,
it's a fun movie. I love.
It had nice action. It had nice action directing, but there was no substance to it whatsoever.
Yeah. No, I like the
substance is sometimes overrated. Like you can't sit back and enjoy something, you know.
Sometimes I agree with you, Brake, on that. Like, but there is substance in that movie. Actually, the plot's
like for instance, I don't
watch it again and tell me that.
I've watched that movie.
We're stretching a definition of substance here. I don't think there's substance in Hardcore Henry,
but I think it was a fucking I loved it. Like,
yeah. I want to see Hardcore
Henry.
Out,
if you just sit back, relax, and
I took it as a commentary on the stupidity of modern video games.
All right, Eric, you have something else?
Tigers are now functionally extinct in Cambodia.
That sucks, man. That's a bummer.
It was either tigers or lions where actually, like, for the first time in like 50 years, their population has increased.
They do say that with a lot of work, they could probably get the population up again as long as the habitats are maintained.
That's up to Cambodia to figure that shit out, man. Like, I don't understand foreign countries when it comes. Sometimes they seem really, really, like, into the preservation of animals, and then you get stories like this. So,
the problem is with things like that, it's a lot of it also comes down to proximity. Hang on a second. Let me finish.
A lot of it comes down to proximity of settlements, where if you have people who are in danger of, like, you know, if you have, like, because essentially, you know, humans are have encroached on these creatures' habitats, and so you have people who are like, well, these things are encroaching on our homes. Like, well, they were here first, but you know that's not how people look at it.
Yeah,
like, well, that, you know, it's like, these things are a danger to humans, and that's most important. So,
well, I mean, if push comes to shove, if I'm in Cambodia and one of those houses that they live in, and I see a tiger and it's near the tiger's going to get it. Unfortunately, you know, I value human life like way above animal life, and that's just within me. But I'm a huge animal lover, and I, like Dungeon Buster says, good job, humanity. There should be protections in place everywhere in the world for those type of species. Like, they really should. Like, there's no getting around it, man. Those species are important, and every time we lose a species like that, like, it hurts us, like, in the long run. So, you know, that's sad. I hope things work out for the tigers.
Speaking of losing species, like, somebody...
Well, it does say in the article here that the U.S. might, like, try to reintegrate the tigers that they have in captivity.
What were you saying?
I don't know what anybody can do, but fuck, man, what are we gonna do when the bees die?
Oh, dude, that's the one right
that,
there.
Bees. That is largely horse shit.
Yeah.
Colony, like, the whole thing is like bee populations have been on the rise for the past couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Have well, they?
The wrong species of bees, Mug. The wrong species of bees have been on the rise.
Not really.
The ones that kill the good bees. I'm deathly, this is something that you guys don't know. I'm deathly allergic to bees, but I have a healthy respect for bees. So yeah, Dungeon Buster says poachers don't help either. Yeah. Fuck poachers. Poachers are sickening.
Well, the thing is, like, bees are not as crucial to pollination as people like to make it out to be.
And there's plenty of other bugs that are crucial to pollination, but bees are
big. Speaking of bees, how the hell do carpenter bees make those fucking perfect circles?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's
they're fucking perfect every time. Like, it's ridiculous.
Well,
I couldn't do that if I fucking paid somebody else to do it.
Yeah. All right, Breakman, let's move on to your stinko, because I want to get on to the Sweetos and finish up with a quick
my stinko is that you asked me again.
What?
I've got a lulls too. I need to put it in there.
Did I ask you again?
Yeah, we already did my stinko.
All right. Well, let's move on to Sweetos. Let's start with you, Brake.
My Sweeto goes to this beautiful fucking weather that we have going on, and you know, spring cleaning and working in the yard, and just, oh my God, I love all this shit. Get fucking, I hate cold weather. I love this. Love it.
Yeah, me too. It's good. I like
spring
it.
And summertime. Yes, like, bring it on. Although, I'd rather sweat any day of the fucking week than shiver.
Although we're in for some snow here next couple of days.
Oh, dude, that sucks. I'm sorry.
Yeah, all this right. Wacky weather is actually a really bad thing.
You know what's funny? It's like
wacky weather is the rule of Cincinnati. Like, our rule is basically, if you don't like the weather, wait.
Yeah, see, that's
how
it is. And
there are different versions, like, wait a minute, close your eyes, blink, turn your head, stuff like that.
It's the same in Denver. It's like, it's an old saying here, too. If you don't like the weather in Denver, you know, wait till the afternoon. And it's true. I mean, the weather could be snow.
I mean, we're also seeing stuff like here in South Carolina, it should be warm now, and we're getting like jacket and hat weather at night. I'm not even worried about, like, oh, that sucks. It's like, these are indicative of serious problems.
Yeah.
Like, the Greenland's ice sheet is melting fast, like, earlier this year than at any other point. This is another record high, you know, hot year. And, you know, it's, you know, within a few decades, we're going to start seeing some serious, some real problems. We're going to start seeing some, you know, massive flooding all over the planet.
We've already seen this, like, with the droughts in California. I mean, global warming is a thing, you know. It's like, it's not even deniable, except by the GOP, which I don't understand why it has to be a political thing one way or the other. Like, you either believe it or not, either side of the board, you know, but. Happens to me that's...
because corporations deal in politics, and corporations don't want policies in place that prop up, you know, that could impact their bottom line. And a lot of the environmental regulations do that.
And they're
what are you saying? Money influences politics?
Yeah, exactly.
I know. Imagine that.
And they're myopic because why don't they work their bottom line to have environmental preservation in their work in their favor?
Yeah, there's plenty of work to be done in that regard. We're not even going to start a discussion on that because it'll last forever. Let's see. So we did breaks. What about you, Maury? I didn't see anything down on your list here.
My sweeto is that Brake actually put something in for his sweetos. Oh, wait, no, he didn't. Brake did that. Brake yourself.
I love it. All right, Eric, what about you, man?
Oh, you know what? I didn't actually tell you my stinko. Never mind. Not you pointed out. Like, I didn't actually tell you my stinko. So I'm sorry, Eric. Can I do my stinko real quick?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Okay. You remember a few months back, I told you how I was having trouble trying to upgrade to Windows 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trying for months and months, literally since I got the computer in December. Mm-hmm. About that time, I got the update saying, you can upgrade to Windows 10 for free.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been going all over the web looking up every technique known to man. And this week, I had an extra day off, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go to somebody. So I went to Micro Center to see if they could help me do it.
Mm-hmm.
Even Micro Center couldn't help me upgrade to Windows 10.
Oh, break, man.
I don't know what else to fucking say. Like,
I know what to say.
Even the experts that are paid for it couldn't do it.
I don't know what to fucking say. I know what to say. But you guys don't want to hear it, but I know what to say.
What?
Get a Mac. That's what I'm saying.
So I'm sorry, Eric. You can never. So that's
I'm
my
sorry.
Stinko,
I like having a computer.
Yeah. I have a
computer.
I like
playing
it's
games.
Awesome. Yeah, well, that's so one thing that
I'm stuck
guys...
with Windows 8.1 because nobody, even people who are paid to do it, can't even figure out how to get Windows 10 on my computer.
That's typical. That, there you go. All right. Eric
Sweeto.
I don't have a Sweeto. I have a Lulz.
Okay, what's your Lulz, man?
My Lulz is from the BuzzFeed. It says, Ted Cruz says he won't ban dildos if he becomes president.
God, Jesus Christ.
Because we know he has one stuck up in his ass right now.
Wait, he said he won't ban dildos? How's that a bad thing?
Yeah, is his opponents, like, are they promising to ban dildos or something?
No. And Ted Cruz is... No, basically, Ted Cruz, when he was in whatever state he was from, he wrote a report saying that, like, masturbation isn't protected and things like that, like anti-masturbation, anti-vibrators, anti-dildo stuff.
Represented.
So this question is very relevant to what he has actually done in the past. So this is actually kind of a good thing compared to what he has said in the past, saying, like, no, you can't masturbate.
Speaking of Ted Cruz,
well, he said, actually, I have read the quotes earlier. Like, it was like
he supported a bill that, you know, it alluded to something like that, but he didn't say like no one has
masturbation
the right to,
was specifically in writing.
Yeah, no, I Breakman's right. There was some bullshittery with that. I think we've even talked about it on this show. It just so happened that Ted Cruz was one of the sponsors of that bill, or had something to do with that bill getting into.
I remember specifically masturbation, them saying like that in there, that was not a protected privacy thing.
Okay, hang on. Here's what I found. The Ted Cruz tried to ban dildos while serving as Solicitor General of Texas. Mostly false. What's true? While Ted Cruz was serving as Solicitor General, his office defended an existing law banning the sale of obscene devices.
Mm-hmm.
What's false? Ted Cruz banned or attempted to ban the sale of dildos in Texas, or personally supported a law that enforced such a ban.
Well,
when you say masturbation specifically,
what do you masturbate with? I mean, if you're a woman, what do you masturbate with? Come on, like
a dildo,
right? It doesn't.
I'm gonna try
your
find
fingers.
Like, most people that I saw.
Don't get dildos, use your fingers.
Yeah.
Or anal plugs.
Speaking of Ted Cruz, like, there's been a lot of controversy in Colorado.
Well, speaking of anal plugs.
Yeah, speaking of anal plugs.
There was a Dark Souls 3, like, collector's edition with the E-Strategy Guide or whatever that comes with the Estus flask. And the Estus flask looks like a piece of shit. It's like
poorly painted. I found the quotes.
And it looks like a shitty foamy thing. And it kind of does look like a butt plug.
All right, Brake, what's the quote?
There is no – there are three paragraphs. There's no substantive
– Substantive.
Thank you.
Substantive.
Due process.
No, substantive.
Substantive due process right to stimulate one's genitals for non-medical purposes unrelated to procreation or outside of interpersonal relationship. State laws against bigamy, same-sex marriage, adult incest, prostitution, masturbation, adultery, fornication, bestiality, and obscenity are likewise sustainable only in light of Bowers validation laws based on moral choices. Every single one of these laws... What?
There's more context to be had there, though.
Look, right. Like, every single one of these laws is called into question by today's decision. The court makes no effort to cabin the scope of its decision to exclude them from its holding. But even assuming that appellants had articulated a right sufficient to satisfy the first prong of Glucksberg test establishing a right as fundamental, they could not show that the right to promote dildos, vibrators, and other obscene devices, or indeed even to use those devices in private, is deeply rooted in the nation's history and tradition and implicit in the concept of ordered liberty.
Yeah.
In other words, he's saying that using vibrators and masturbation and all this incest and everything else isn't vital to, you know.
Why? Yeah. Why?
Let me just add something there. Like they, you know, they're talking about that quote. There's no substance due process right and all that stuff. Said the pursuit of such happiness had no constitutional standing. And the brief argued there was no right to promote dildos, vibrators, or other obscene devices. The plaintiffs, it noted, were free to engage in unfettered non-commercial speech, touting the uses of obscene devices, but not speech designed to generate the sale of these items.
Oh my God, that's so dumb.
Hang on. This is a significant distinction. It's important to note here that as Solicitor General, Ted Cruz was in charge of the office tasked with representing the government side of cases brought against the state, an office that was obligated to defend the law currently in place, i.e. argue in favor of upholding the state's ban on obscene devices, as directed by the state's Attorney General, Greg Abbott. The case in question did not create a ban on the sale of dildos. It was a challenge to an existing law to that effect. And the fact that the task of creating the law fell to the Solicitor General's office, which was headed by Ted Cruz, does not mean that Ted Cruz personally approved of the law or that he personally prepared or argued the case defending it.
You actually,
as shown in court records, hang on, the state side of the case was presented before the United States Court of Appeals by Bill L. Davis, not Ted Cruz.
You actually believe Ted Cruz wasn't behind that all the way? Mug, you believe
he's the boss. That's probably correct.
Here's the thing, Frank. I'm not saying I believe anything one way or the other.
Right.
I'm saying that the story as it's reported is not based fully in fact.
It's only shown one part of the argument. That's correct, because I didn't know those details.
But even still, like this is something that he preoccupied his time with, really. I mean,
In
the article that I was reading, it's insinuating that Ted Cruz is directly saying this, but what Moria is saying is that basically Ted Cruz was the boss, so just because he was in charge doesn't mean he necessarily promoted this.
Well, I have probably a 99.99% feeling.
It would be like that bitch cunt name in Kentucky. Like her, if she had a boss. Like blaming the boss for what that bitch did.
Well, the boss is the boss.
Let me get this last little bit and tell you that one of the things is it's true that the controversial line quoted above regarding there being no right to stimulate one's genitals for non-medical purposes appears in the Court of Appeals ruling as something referenced by the state as corroborated here. It's like to determine the constitutional standard applicable to this claim, we must address what right is at stake. Plaintiffs claim that the right at stake is the individual's substantive due process right to engage in private intimate conduct free from government intrusion.
Yeah.
The state proposes a different right for the plaintiffs, the right to stimulate one's genitals for non-medical purposes unrelated to procreation or outside of an interpersonal relationship. However, as noted above, that statement flowed from a much earlier case, Yorko v. State, brought in 1985, long before Ted Cruz served as Solicitor General. general, in which the Texas Court of Appeals of Criminal Appeals, had held that there was no constitutional right to stimulate another's genitals with an object designed or marketed as useful primarily for that purpose, as well as an another case brought in a different state, Williams versus Attorney General of Alabama, regarding a statute prohibiting the sale of sex toys. The most that one can make of this issue is to say that Ted Cruz once, in accordance with his job duties and the requirements of his office, oversaw lawyers who were obliged to argue in favor of an existing Texas state law that prohibited the sale of obscene devices, which included some sexual aids.
Oh, I love the politics, man.
It's not
the
politics.
That's not politics. Fact. What I said was politics, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, you're acting like I'm arguing, like, you know, defending Ted Cruz. No, I'm just arguing in favor of the facts. And the facts, you know, people are like, oh, he did this. No, he did what his job obliged him to do. And you know, and anything beyond that is pure speculation.
Yeah.
You
know, I didn't have the total facts. I just had one side of it, and then I'd always assumed that was correct, you know?
Always check Snopes, man. They are like on the freaking ball. Snopes, have people that research
Snopes
this
is
shit.
A great
So you're
website.
Saying Weird Al was right.
Snopes is a great
Weird
website.
Weird Al's always right.
Snopes has been wrong, though.
Yeah, I was going to say
it's
Snopes
true. And
is
the thing,
not.
But the thing is, like, they provide sources for their stuff.
Yeah. Well, my source is Ted Cruz himself. He's a douchebag. Let's just leave it at that.
But that's not an argument. And you know that is basically. That, you know, that actually is an ad hominem argument. He's a douchebag, so obviously he must have done it.
I'm ad hominem all the way to the next part of the show, guys, because I don't want to get into Ted Cruz because I could spend all day on Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz is
how
an,
I
I'll
love
say
him.
This and I'll be done. I'll say this and I'll get off of the Ted
man,
Cruz.
Jesus
subject.
Christ. But Ted Cruz taking up half an hour.
Hang on,
of this fucking show.
Let me finish and we'll be done. Ted Cruz
For fuck's
is an
sake,
asshole.
Frank.
I know. It's like, Ted
Do I need
Cruz
to slap?
Asshole. That's.
You know what's funny is I haven't said but maybe two sentences about Ted Cruz, and I'm the one that's the bad guy here. So go ahead, Ted Cruz.
Let him finish. Fuck.
Let's make the Ted Cruz show. Go on, Ted Cruz.
Is an asshole, but let's call him an asshole for shit that we know that he's done, not shit that people say that he's done.
Well.
There are plenty of good reasons to condemn the man. Let's not resort to hearsay.
Yeah, like unfortunately, like I only had half the facts. Now I feel really shitty. Thank you for correcting me, but yeah, like that's not. A reason.
I just wanted to make a joke at his expense, and you turned
this is
God damn it, Frank.
Me? What the fuck? I'm not the one who brought up Ted Cruz. Look, you guys interrupted me about Ted Cruz, and this is what I'm going to say about Ted Cruz. He's a piece of shit. I don't care if it's an ad hominem attack.
Frank's just angry.
The mother,
that he got
listen. God damn it, man. Ted Cruz is a blatant piece of shit. Okay, for reasons other than this stupid dildo shit, right? He's a dildo himself. Let's just put it that way, all right? I don't want to spend another fucking minute on Ted Cruz other than to say that he garnered the state of Colorado without even votes from the people, which was a huge controversy that I don't even want to get into because Ted Cruz sucks. God damn it. What's wrong with my mouse now? There we go. All right.
He's got a dildo on it.
Yeah, it's fucking Ted Cruz all over this fucking mouse. All right, let's move on. I want
Frank is all into the teledildonics.
Oh, Jesus, right, I want to move on.
Is a real thing.
I want to move on to my sweeto of the week, and it has to do.
Frank
with
got a new
this.
Deal though. Tales from the Crypt, you get it.
I'm excited, guys.
Yeah, there have been some interesting talk on this.
Yeah.
So, I see. Like, Tales from the Crypt got kickstarted.
Get out of here, son of a bitch. Tales from the Crypt, apparently.
Tales from the Crypt is better than Dragon Quest VIII.
Tales from the Crypt.
I agree with that one, actually. Tales from the Crypt was amazing.
It was a great show. It's coming back. Let's move on.
Well, there's talk about like the original Crypt Keeper obviously isn't coming back, but there's talk that the reason he's not coming back might be because they're going with like a darker angle on the show.
Yeah,
trying to make it more scary.
I went back and watched some old Tales from the Crypt, and it's a lot of it's like it's really dated.
It's really
hard to get back to.
You know who they rumored to be the new Crypt Taker, right? Ted Cruz. He's going to be the new Crypt Taker.
Did you say Crypt Taker?
Or whatever. You know, Crypt Keeper.
He's like, you take it, I'll keep it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want this, you take it.
Exactly. All right, let's move on to reviews. Eric, you have a review.
I got a review of Parasite the Maxime. This is actually a remake of a manga that was released back in the 70s. And I don't think there was a previous animation adaptation before this, so it's just something they decided to do for whatever reason. But it's about a guy named Shinichi, and one night while he's sleeping, a bunch of meteorites hit the Earth, but they contain parasites that decide to infect people and take over their bodies. But the ones that fail and like go to a body part or whatever just become a symbiote, and now he has to live with the symbiote that he's calling Migi, and the other ones are after him, so he has to either constantly battle them, but it's usually Migi that does most of the work because he's too much of a scaredy cat to battle. And basically it's a really cool sci-fi anime that aired on Toonami, and it finally ended last weekend, and the next show that's going to replace it is Hunter Cross Hunter.
Wait, so that's the end of this show completely? Like, just ended, right?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. It looks sort of like
I don't think there was an additional season or whatever after the first whatever of the manga. I don't think it kept going after this point. I think that was just the entirety of the manga.
I'd be interested in seeing this. It's kind of like got a thing.
Yeah, usually when shows air on Toonami, they only have one run. So you'd have to catch it subtitled streaming on Hulu or something.
Yeah, somewhere. So what do you give him, Parasite, Eric?
I'd have to give it let's see, probably an 8 out of 10. The dub is, I mean, Sentai typically has, like, not great dubs, but I guess they're competent. And I guess I don't like the voice work, but I also think it works well for the nature of the show because a lot of the parasites are monotone anyway, so it works.
All right. Well, cool. I'm definitely going to check it out one way or another. Maybe I'll catch it on Blu-ray if it comes out.
It already is out, so.
That's cool. Brake, you already did a review of Hardcore Henry last week.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to, I should have deleted that. My bad.
No, that's all good.
I did see it this week, though.
Yeah, Eric saw it, and apparently Mug has a few reviews as well. So, Mug, why don't we get into reviews? I don't know. Just start wherever you want.
All right. Well, actually, last Saturday, I actually saw two movies. I saw 10 Cloverfield Lane and Hardcore Henry. I had a gift card, so I was like, what the fuck? I'll just go ahead and watch them. But I don't know if you guys have seen anything about 10 Cloverfield Lane. A lot of people are like, hated Cloverfield. And what this movie has to do with Cloverfield is
very little.
Practically nothing.
Yeah, I did a review on this.
It is a nice little film. Like, it's very, it almost plays out kind of like a stage play, except for the last, just the climax of it. But it's very tense, and it's really well directed, and it's well written, and it's just, I really liked John Goodman in it. His character is this.
I like John Goodman. Period. I think he's great.
Yeah, he's a really good actor. It's just, but his character in this is just like,
this weird combination of paternal, you know, like just like protective and menacing. And he really nails it. I was very pleased with the film. I don't know that it's a movie that kind of, you know, it exists around not knowing what's going to happen next. So I don't know how well it would hold up on repeat viewings. But it is definitely worth seeing. And later that evening I went to see, Hardcore Henry, which is one of the dumbest movies I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's fun.
It is incredibly, I mean, it's Crank in first person with added superpowers. There's really no story to it to speak of.
I hope you guys didn't go see it because I went to see it.
No.
I wanted to see it anyway, but you know, like when you saw it, I was just like, oh, that, you know, okay. I mean, that kind of, you know, makes me want to see it more. And I mean, and I'm not saying I didn't enjoy it, but it is incredibly dumb.
Oh yeah.
One of the things actually that's really impressive about it is, it's like, it's a really a triumph of editing. Because it's not all shot in one shot. And the action sequences and stuff, the way that they got everything to work, you know, like everything flowed. It's like, you know, you would think that this, you know, this movie would be confusing to watch. It's really not. And what's weird is that there's some, you know, some parkour stuff that goes on in it. So it's like you get these weird twists of kind of like Mirror's Edge.
Did get a real Mirror's Edge feeling while watching it at some points.
I mean, it's mostly in the beginning when he's like
some parkour.
The foot chase sequence has some parkour, which it looks really nice. But like I was kind of surprised that I didn't get sick or anything during it because first person stuff sometimes does. But if a jittering camera makes you ill, you don't want to watch this movie.
Yeah.
It will not be an enjoyable experience for you at all.
My only regret is not seeing it in an IMAX theater.
I want to see it in IMAX.
And there was no 3D option. It was the standard only.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, I didn't get that option either.
And the other thing I was going to review is a book by Ernest Cline called Ready Player One, which is, you know, a lot of people have heard of it. It's this... near future, you know, dystopian science fiction universe where everyone essentially attends, you know, like the real world sucks and everyone kind of exists inside this this virtual reality universe called the Oasis. And there's this, like the guy who created it was this, like, apparently autistic, like complete 80s geek, because that's like the era in which he grew up. It's like, so, you know, he was kind of, you know, of the same era as like Bill Gates and Steve Wozniak and Steve Jobs. And, you know, and his thing was like what he wound up creating was this, you know, was the Oasis. And the Oasis essentially reshaped the world. It's like all, you know, most schooling takes place in VR now and that kind of thing. And it's a decently engaging book, but it panders so fucking hard. It's like everything is a reference to some bit of like geeky pop culture. Everything. Like this guy was into pop culture. Like the guy who created the Oasis was into this 80s pop culture. And the premise of it is basically that he died with no heirs. And so he set up this contest inside the Oasis where, you know, you complete this and whoever wins this contest gets my entire fortune. You know, like it gets ownership of the, you know, of everything that I have, and it gets these billions and billions and billions of dollars. And so there's this rival company that essentially wants to turn it into Facebook, and basically what they want to do with it. You know, start charging people for it and making it ad, you know, ad revenue driven and that kind of thing. And it's not a terrible book, but it's like, they're pushing, it's like it's constantly trying to push all the, it's trying to establish a geek cred, I guess. Like everything is about like, oh, this, you know, like Black Tiger by Capcom. It's like some really obtuse, you know, references.
That was kind of the point of that book though. Like that's.
Yeah,
that's
it is. But the thing is, it's like, it's so, I don't know. It's kind of hackneyed. It's, you know, because for one thing, the character who's, you know, they describe, like, he gets, you know, this hunt has been going on for like 5 years. And this kid has, you know, he's been at it for 5 years and he's like 19 or 18 or something. And he describes how he's gotten into every novel by like these listed off 40 different authors, like, you know, Roger Zelazny and Terry Goodkind and Terry Brooks and Douglas Adams and Stephen King. And this guy's read every single one of his of these guys' books multiple times, watched every single movie that the guy that the, you know, the creator had, you know, ever mentioned in his little almanac thing, you know, listened to all the songs, and he's mastered all these video games. I mean, he's talking about having done all this shit in 5 years. I'm like, if you stayed awake for 5 years straight, you literally could not have done everything you're describing doing.
Unless like, there's some weird
a decade's worth of continuous time with no breaks whatsoever that you supposedly did in 5 years.
Yeah,
and it's just like, and the character comes off as unbelievably arrogant. It's almost kind of very Mary Sue-ish, where it's like everything. It's like I'd mastered this game, you know, by playing hours and hours and hours and hours, and, you know, like the Joust or whatever. And it's just like, or like there's one bit where he has to kind of recite stuff from the movie War Games. It's like, oh, I've watched this movie 27 times. I'm like, when did you have time
Why?
To
watch
this?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like this whole hunt essentially comes down to solving some riddles that are based around trivia from 80s pop culture. So like, if you're a child of the 80s, this is the book for you, except it's like, in my case, I think there was one thing mentioned that I did, like one reference out of hundreds of 80s pop culture references that I didn't get, because it had to do with something that I just never seen. You know, like I had no idea what that was all about. And this even the stuff that I like
version of Pixels, it sounds like
kind of. I mean, it's like there's no like cheesy forced humor and stuff, and you know, it's not badly written, but it's like if it wouldn't stop trying to cram like the you grew up in the 80s, you'll love this, you know, if it weren't pushing that so hard, it would be much better. It would be a much better book than it is.
Because I really grew up in the 90s. I was a kid in the 80s.
Me too.
Yeah, see, I was born in
70s. I was old enough to play video games. It was already like 89.
Mm. Yeah. See, I was born in 74. So I went through like my, you know, when I started to remember things was when, you know, the 2600 was, you know, was the thing. Mm. So like I have, you know, memories of all this stuff.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Okay. And it's like,
I was born in the 70s as well.
Yeah, but it's like I was playing video games. Like the very first game I ever played was Donkey Kong in a grocery store. Or the very first arcade game I ever played was Donkey Kong in a grocery store back when it was still new. So I mean it's not a bad book, but it's weird. It's like, you know, it feels like it's kind of like it's just trying too hard.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's, you know, I'm enjoying it, but not as much as I think I should be. Yeah. It's like this book is aimed directly at me, and yet I'm kind of put off by it.
If they toned it down just a little.
I mean, it's like it's the kind of thing where if they could take the same premise and maybe and do it more of a straight fantasy kind of realm, or like, you know, space cowboys, space pirates, that kind of thing. You know, if they didn't do like the heavy VR approach to it, or just tone down the constant referencing of 80s pop culture, then it wouldn't feel so forced.
Yeah. So. I remember reading that book, but bits and pieces because I was carbon monoxide poisoned, so that fucked my memory quite a bit. But
is that code word for you were high?
No, he means he could have died.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, I actually had carbon monoxide poison.
That leads you to abuse inhalants.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a fair review of that book from what I remember.
I mean, I don't dislike it, but I wish I liked it more than I do. Yeah. Let's put it that way.
We're going to skip the free-for-all this week, guys. We're going to have to push it off to next week. I had a topic that I just thought of today while playing other games like Wolf Among Us and Zelda and some other. What's that?
Did you finish Wolf Among Us?
No, I did not. Dude, I really haven't time. I lost my job. I've been preoccupied with WiFix, and there's just.
I was gonna say you lost your job. You got nothing but time.
Yeah.
Wow.
That my time has been my
time. Nothing but time indeed.
Yeah. Exactly. Actually, my time's been dedicated to helping my wife and kids. You know,
I'm sure.
With shit.
I'm just giving you shit.
But we're gonna talk next week about mundane tasks, like in real life and in video games, and why
Harvest Moon?
Yeah, mundane tasks that are that can be fun in a video game, like grass cutting in the Zelda games.
Yeah, exactly. Or like finding those stupid those packs in Grand Theft Auto, or you know.
I've yet to come across a video game that's made dishwashing fun.
You know what? I'm sure there is one.
No, that's a lie.
I'll tell you something that a game makes fun that is not fun in real life. I am bread being bread. Not fun in real life. Let me tell you.
Right. We'll talk about all that shit next week, guys, for sure. So, but with that, we're going to have to do our plugs. Get on out this week. We will be back next week to have hopefully an awesome discussion on it. I think we can have a real fun time talking about this and different games and shit like that. So, let's start with our plugs. Mug, let's start with you.
All right, you can find me on Twitters at MoriaMug, MoriaMug.
All right, Break, your plugs.
At RP Grinders and at Break underscore Man. And that's it.
That's it.
That's all. All
right.
That's all. Just
that's it. That's all. That's it and that's all.
That's it. Yeah, go on. Move on.
Eric, your plug, sir.
I'm just going to plug my Twitter account at EricRPG.
At EricRPG, all right. I'm going to plug the RPG.
Oh, wait.
Go ahead.
I did do a video or three video reviews that I have up on my YouTube page. I decided since these games are really short, and instead of struggling to make it a page long, I decided to do short videos of me doing a vlog-style review of the first one's actually up on being featured on Possible Browser Grade right now, and that's for the Enter the Gungeon. And I give it a positive review, but it's not my type of game. It's not a game I'd want to play over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, it's a roguelike, so unless you're willing to play stuff over and over again.
Sorry, Eric, go ahead.
But the next two are Mitsurugi Kamui Hike, which is for the PS4. And the other one is Shuchimi, Seriously Swole, which is a shmup that plays kind of like WarioWare, where each level is only about 10 seconds long.
I like games like that.
And each level is randomly generated with a different quirk. Like, you're either you will be invisible, the enemies will be invisible, or you'll get a special weapon that you have to deal with.
Hmm. All right, anything else, Eric?
That's it, actually.
Alright. I actually do have one more quick plug. I got a Twitter comment from our friend at Freak5Chaos who says 52 card pickup is better than Dragon Quest 8.
Son of a bitch. Exiled. God damn it. 52 card pickup. Jesus Christ. That's gonna be a new RP Grinder meme now. Watch. People are gonna start coming up with things that are better than, like, games that are better than Dragon Quest 8.
Multiple organ failure is better than Dragon Quest 8.
All right. I want to thank.
I do want to mention that the theater I saw Hardcore Henry in got new seating in. They have actual decent cup holders now, and the seats are nice.
There you go. I want to thank Dungeon Buster for being in chat. Gripper, thank you so much for being in chat. Freak5Chaos, who we just mentioned. And MXT showed up. So thank you guys so much for joining on in chat. I wish we could get more people in chat. It'd be fun. It's fun as it is, but more people in chat would be even funner. So if you're listening on the archives, join us in chat Fridays at 7 Eastern on wickedradionetwork.com. I'm going to try to put up a Ustream just in case people are having problems with audio, but that's where the chat will be all the time, wickedradionetwork.com. What else do I want to plug?
Warm beer is better than Dragon Quest 8.
Oh, get out of here, you son of a bitch.
Beer's pretty awful, so that's gross.
I need another beer.
Gripper says, hey. hey, Gripper.
We need to wrap this up so I can get another beer.
We're going to wrap it up. Until next week, everybody. We want to see you back here next week. Stay safe. We are out. Thanks a lot, guys.
It's better than Dragon Quest 8.
Get out of here. Your mom. Nothing's better than Dragon Quest VIII. Nothing.
Nothing's not better.
Nothing.
Everything is better than
no.
I dropped something on my head.